Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. As has already been mentioned, it's a different time, no question about that. We have several visitors today. We have a lot of visitors a lot of times, but due to some congregations not even being able to meet today because of their size, we have visitors as a result of that. Certainly thankful that you have been able to make it to be safely with us. Pray that we will be benefited, each of us, by glorifying God and worshiping together today. We have been doing a series off and on, kind of interspersed with our series on Timothy, where we've talked about killing giants and pulling thorns. And we've looked at those little bothersome things sometimes that are thorns. They just aggravate you in life, and if you don't get rid of them, they just seem to fester and not get any better. But then there's some other things that are just a little more difficult to handle than that. They are giants, not because it's insurmountable, but because we find that it's the kinds of things that we struggle a lot more with than some of the other things that we might struggle with. Today, we're going to be looking at slaying the giant of procrastination. And we understand that's something that doesn't affect just two or three. That affects us in mass a lot of times. We struggle with that concept. You've probably thought about that this past week when you're thinking, you know what, I should have bought toilet paper when I thought I was going to buy it a couple of weeks ago. We put decisions off. Charles Spurgeon had a great quote, I thought, especially for preachers anyway, a quote to think about. He said, for a preacher, there is no inspiration like sunset Saturday evening. I just thought that's a good quote. Hopefully that's not what it comes down to most of the time, but that certainly would inspire you to get moving pretty quickly, I would think, if you didn't have anything prepared prior to that. It is a problem. We've mentioned before the website despair.com. I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but they've got some interesting posters, and this is what they have to say about it. Procrastination: hard work often pays off after time, but laziness always pays off now. So what is it that you're striving for, I guess, is really the result or the answer to that question. But I even like this one better. I came across this just the other day. So it just takes a second, but just if you read the whole thing, then you get the point. We wrestle with that. One author that I was reading wrote this about procrastination. He said, procrastination is a universal problem. Most of us know what we need to do, we just put it off. The problem with procrastination is that it becomes a way of life, a lifestyle. The more you do it, the better you become at it. Some people are professional procrastinators. I think that's probably a valid point. The more you do it, the easier it does become, and you find yourself dealing with that quite a bit. And so we want to talk a little bit about that from a Bible standpoint this morning. What does it even mean, procrastination? It's virtually the same if you look it up. Most of us certainly understand the nature of it, but the definition out of Webster's just says to put off intentionally and habitually. So procrastination is not really speaking of something that you made a decision just one time, but you have a tendency to put those things off. It comes from the Latin word pro, which means of, and crastinus, which means tomorrow. Just a great word, isn't it? Just means of tomorrow. That's the whole nature of the word. Just put it off till tomorrow. I've got a little bit more time as to how I can do that. We'll turn to Exodus chapter 8. We've mentioned this incident more than once, but there probably is not a better biblical example of procrastination than that which comes about in Exodus chapter 8. You remember, this is the beginning, the second, actually, it's, chapter 8 is the second plague that God is going to send to try to get Pharaoh to let his people go out of the land of Egypt. And they're going to have this battle back and forth because God's going to send Moses with a message, and the message is going to be, let my people go. And Pharaoh's going to say, okay, I'll let your people go. But then he'll change his mind. And God will send multiple plagues trying to get him to let his people go. But he's constantly changing his mind. But this one's boggling from a different standpoint. I mean, it's hard to imagine how they could have endured any of them, honestly, and that not have been a final decision. I don't know if you've ever thought about that much, but you read any of the plagues and you think, That would have been enough, I think, to decide it for me permanently. But it's not easy for him. He's thinking about losing all that slave labor and all the things that are involved if he lets the Israelites go. And so he's just struggling with that decision. In chapter 8, the Lord said to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will plague all your country with frogs. The Nile shall swarm with frogs that shall come up into your house and into your bedroom and on your bed and into the houses of your servants and your people and into your ovens and your kneading bowls. The frogs shall come up on you and your people and all your servants.'" So you just get a picture of that because that's exactly how it came about. When you continue to read, it says that's what happened. It came up. And so you're going to make a loaf of bread, and provided you could buy flour somewhere, you were going to make a loaf of bread, and in the kneading bowl, there's frogs there. You can't even mix anything up. In your mixing bowls, the frogs are jumping around. The frogs are in your ovens. They're not sealed like our ovens we think of, but so where you're going to cook. You've got frogs all in there. You get ready to pull down the sheets on your bed, and there's frogs crawling all over your bed. They're climbing up the walls. They're in the rooms everywhere you go. I mean, how difficult would that be to think this is not problematic? And so they're going to have a conversation about that. And Pharaoh in verse 8 says, "And Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, 'Plead with the Lord to take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let your people go to sacrifice to the Lord.'" I mean, that seems like it'd be an understatement, wouldn't it? Please beg the Lord, get rid of these frogs. We cannot handle this. And so Moses said to Pharaoh, "Be pleased to command me when I am to plead for you and for your servants and for your people, and the frogs to be cut off from you and your houses and be left only in the Nile." And what did he say? "Tomorrow. Tomorrow." Yeah, you know what? We're okay. Leave the frogs here tonight. We're okay with that. If you'll just take care of the frogs tomorrow, we'll be okay with that. I mean, think of what does it take to think in terms? Well, that's the nature of procrastination. It is that idea of tomorrow, almost as if it whispers to us. There are a lot of things around us shouting that they need to be done, and somewhere in our ear, it's just like, you know what? Just tomorrow. Just wait till tomorrow. And you can do that. And you're getting that voice that is speaking softly. And I think that's why that author said that it's easy to become a professional because we get so good at doing this. Gloria Pitzer said it this way: "Procrastination is my sin. It brings me nothing but sorrow. I know that I should stop it. In fact, I will tomorrow." I mean, think about that. Tomorrow, you know what? Tomorrow I'm going to start working on that particular problem that I've been struggling with. Tomorrow I'm going to put in place a plan to relieve my debt that I've struggled with. Tomorrow I'm going to quit this bad habit that I have. Tomorrow I'm going to be more attentive to my wife. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to stop nagging my husband. Tomorrow, I'll get to that school assignment that I'm supposed to be doing. Tomorrow, I'll go look for that job that I need to get. Tomorrow, I'll make that phone call. Tomorrow, I'll make that visit. Tomorrow, I'll give my life to God. I mean, you think of how many things are tomorrow. How many things are just put off a little bit. And so we wrestle with that. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a challenge. If you want to write this down, which if you were me, you'd have to do that, because otherwise you can put it into memory and it may be unretrievable. Just understand that. It can go in sometimes. It may not make it back out again. I'd like you to take just a few seconds to either think of or write three things that you can do this week, to be a blessing to someone else in your service to God. Three things. Write them down. Log them into memory if your memory is good. Put them on your phone, or when you leave today, make sure you write them down. Don't stow it away in your Bible. Because what you're going to find out is these are things that can be a blessing to others and service to God, but if you procrastinate, you will not do them. That's the nature of how we function. We need to make sure that we decide, I'm going to do these three things this week, and I'm going to do them this week. But don't wait. don't wait. Friday and Saturday are this week as well, but if you've put it off till Friday or Saturday, you're going to struggle with that. Rick Warren says, here's the phases of procrastination. Phase one, I'll start early this time. Phase two, I've got to start soon. Phase three, I should have started sooner. Phase four, there's still time to do it. Phase five, what's wrong with me? Phase six, I can't wait any longer. Phase seven, just get it done. Phase eight, next time I'm going to start sooner. I mean, that's what happens. We keep putting it off, and that's exactly the issue. So why do we procrastinate? Why do we procrastinate? Why do we put those things off? Well, sometimes there's fear. It's just not going to work out the way that I think it will, or I'm afraid to do it because of whatever the case may be. Maybe the way people are going to view me. I don't want to do that. Maybe I need to talk to somebody, but I'm just procrastinating because I'm afraid to talk to them because of how that may come out. Sometimes it's fear. We understand that. Sometimes it's indecisiveness. We wrestle back and forth until there's just no time left to make a decision. Or sometimes it's wrong decisions. Sometimes it's wrong decisions. You know, that was the concept that we talked about even in class this morning when Jesus was talking to those in Luke chapter 9 that were going to follow him. Sometimes it's a matter of Jesus saying, you know what, there's a lot of things asking for your attention. Sometimes we procrastinate on the things that are important because we're taking care of the things that aren't as important. How great is it this week, as our minds have been focused on all the things that are going around regarding the COVID and 19 and all that information, and you read those reports, and whatever you feel about that, we're wrestling with all the things of the world when those are going through our mind, and yet we have a couple of occurrences where a couple of souls were baptized into Christ that help us to remember that there are things that are far more important than anything that can happen physically to us or anyone else in this world. The spiritual has to take precedence, and that's what Jesus was saying in Luke chapter 9. He's saying the spiritual has to take precedence. He's not saying you ignore everything else. He's just saying we have to understand spiritual things are the things that are most important. And so sometimes we're just making the wrong decisions. We put the wrong things first. But I would tell you with procrastination, more often than not, that's not it. Turn to Proverbs chapter 26 for a moment. I would tell you typically, at least with me, maybe I should just speak for me. Procrastination for me is rarely that I am just afraid of how it's going to turn out. I'm just afraid. That's rarely the motivation if I'm procrastinating. Rarely for me is it even that I just can't make up my mind decision-wise. It may be, in fact, the prioritizing of things. That would happen more often than the other two. But I'm in danger, like anybody else is, I think, of having the issues of Proverbs chapter 26. If you read with me in verse 13, it says, the sluggard said, there's a lion in the road, there's a lion in the streets. I would tell you, more often than not, procrastination is an issue of laziness, selfishness. We just don't want to get up and do what it is we know that we need to do. We're thinking about ourselves. And I don't mean that's characteristic of your whole life, that you're lazy. I don't think that I'm a lazy person. But there are times I like my comfort level. You ever been there? Boy, you get in that comfortable chair and you're feeling good, and all of a sudden you realize, you know what, I didn't do this. So now I have two choices. I can get up and I can do it, or you know what, I can slot a good time slot for that tomorrow. That ought to just work out perfectly. I can fit that in. Very easy to get in our own way. And God talks about that. The nature of, we need to be careful. Because, and that is making the wrong decisions, I understand that. But it happens because we get selfish a lot of times. We get lazy a lot of times. We just don't want to do the things that we need to do. What does it do, procrastination? Again, in Proverbs, look at Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Verse Verse 4 says, the sluggard does not plow in the autumn. He will seek at harvest and have nothing. That's what it does. Kills productivity. It kills productivity. You just don't produce what you need to produce out of your life. I put things off, and so some things just don't happen. I was reading one guy, and this isn't a direct quote, but I liked what he said. He said, you realize much of the hard work that you're having to do today is easy work that you didn't do on time. I think that's true a lot of times. We put ourselves in a bind. We sit back, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh, wait. I needed to work then. I needed to do that then. I needed to make that call then. I needed to say that then. I had a good friend who one year decided, he said, you know what? There's a lot of people in my life that I love, but I've just not ever been a very expressive person. I need to start telling them I love them. And so he did. He sought people, and on every occasion he could think of, as he'd be talking, he said, you know what, I don't really ever express this to you. I want you to know how much I love you. And after he did that to, I don't know, a dozen or so people that we knew collectively, one of the people said to me, said, is he dying? Is he sick? What is wrong? He was just saying, you know what, I should have been saying this all along. I haven't been saying this, and you put it off. And he, minor consequences to suffer, people thinking he was sick because he wasn't. But that's what happens. You put off things that you need to do. And think about how much harder it becomes. When you need to tell somebody something, when you need to correct something, and you don't do it, when you need to apologize, and you don't do it. You ever been in that boat? I've backed myself into that corner before. Don't apologize early, and then it just gets a little bit harder, and it gets a little bit harder, and it gets a little bit harder. We become unproductive. This note is here, this next one, but that goes back to taking that 60 seconds to choose your three things. I just had that in the wrong part of the slide. But more importantly than the productivity, that's bad enough because it makes us non-productive for God as well, but it may rob you of your salvation. Remember in Acts chapter 24, you can turn there if you want. I'm just going to talk about the story as opposed to read it specifically. But remember Paul going before a man named Felix and the discussion they had? And Paul preached to him. And he preached to him about things like the conviction that he needed to have and the judgment that was to come and righteousness and the way that you ought to live. And it touched him in the sense of it caused him to think. It pricked up his ears. It mattered to him what he heard. Felix did. And what did he say? He said, not right now. Not right now. Go away. I'll call for you at a more convenient time. Paul had more than one audience with him, but as far as we know, at least the Bible never tells us that he changed his mind. Why? Because every time you put off a decision, it becomes more of a lifestyle and easier to accomplish. That was the nature of that very first quote. It's easier to do it because you've done it before. And so you put it off, and you put it off, and you put it off. It may rob you of your salvation. I have no idea what Felix's end decision was in his life, but I do know of others who chose to put off their serving of God until they no longer had that choice. And Jesus says that's a danger, does he not? Doesn't God want us to understand? He doesn't want you to make the choice if you're not committed, you're not ready to make the choice, but he wants you to understand that you need to make the choice, because there will come a time when God's patience, as we looked at a few weeks ago, God's patience will come to an end. His long suffering will end. And so how do we stop? And I just leave you with three simple thoughts. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, as the wise man writes, in verse 18, Through sloth, the roof sinks in, and through indolence, the house leaks. You want to stop procrastination? Develop a sense of urgency. Understand things are more urgent than you may think they are, especially spiritual things are more urgent. I read a little story the other day about a lady that she was in England. She had bees in her attic. She was watching bees fly in through the vent into the attic. They flew in, they flew out. They flew in, they flew out. There were only a few bees, and so she didn't really worry that much about it. And since they were in the attic, not the house, and so she let that go. She didn't realize that the bees were flying in with such frequency that the entire attic almost was turning into a hive. And under hundreds and hundreds of pounds of honeycomb and honey, the roof collapsed. She suffered no injury. But you see a few bees flying in, and she said, saw the first ones flying in. I could have had somebody repair the vent. So they put that insect screen behind it so that they couldn't just fly in there, and that would have been the end of the matter. That's exactly what Solomon is saying. He's saying, you know what, something, they may not look like they're urgent, they may not seem like they're that urgent, but if it has anything to do with your service to God in your spiritual life, he says, develop a sense of urgency. Understand, I need to get it done, I need to get it done now, because that's the only way I'm going to actually get it done. Secondly, stop making excuses. Luke 14 is very similar to Luke 9 in the things that are said. But there's a banquet being held. But the very first ones that were invited to come to the banquet in Luke chapter 14, and there in verse 16, it says, and they all began to make excuse. They all began to make excuse. Isn't that exactly what happened in Luke 9? You know what, Lord, we'd come. I just need to take care of this. Lord, we'd come. I just need to do this. Lord, we'd come. I just need to go here. You can always find a reason in your mind. Most of them are excuses. Easy to find excuses when God gives us something to do. Easy sometimes to find, you know what? Somebody else can do that better than I can. Somebody else is better equipped. Somebody else has more time. I am just too tired today. Whatever the case is. It's not saying that there's never a reason, but God would have us to stop making excuses. Proverbs chapter 12 would have the same idea behind that. As far as the excuses that we make, don't make excuses. Have you ever done that? I remember even as a parent, child asking you to do something, and you just, because it just sounds like you can make it sound like a reason for a child. So you just try to reason with them. But sometimes it was just back to that laziness and selfishness. We make excuses. And then finally, take advantage of today. Take advantage of today. James 4 and verse 14 would have us to understand, you know what? You don't have tomorrow. You may get it, but you don't have it. None of us have it. James, you remember, says, as a matter of fact, it's arrogant to even think that you do have it. He said it's arrogance. He says you're just arrogant if you're the kind of person who says, this is what I'm going to do tomorrow. He said that's arrogant. He says, what you need to be saying is, if the Lord permits, this is what I'm going to do tomorrow. At least acknowledge in your own mind and acknowledge with your mouth so that others know you acknowledge that tomorrow may or may not come. And so I better take advantage of today. And so if it's important and I'm waiting until tomorrow, Ephesians chapter 5 says, you know what? There's not this ending amount of time that we have. He says, and so what do you have to do? He says, don't be evil. Redeem that time. Redeem it. Buy it back. Buying every minute. Making sure that we make the use of the minute. What can we do? Whatever the circumstances are. As Greg pointed out in the very beginning announcements, This is a time for our lights to shine. I don't want to downplay that announcement at all, but my point would be, in addition to that, we could state that every time we say a word publicly, could we not? This is the moment that he gave us. Whatever this moment is, whatever's going on in the world around me, whether everything's peaceful or not peaceful, every moment he gives us is a moment to shine for our God. And that's what we need to do. We need to make use of the time. That's what he says, redeem the time. Procrastination. So I wish it was as easy as just saying, well, good job, Mark. You preached an effective lesson there, and so now I know, for me, I'm done with this issue. I can just move on to the next issue. Procrastination solved. I not only preached the sermon, I had to prepare it ahead of time, and I had to listen to me preach it. I got 3 doses of it, so surely I won't ever procrastinate again. But I understand that's why it's a giant that we're trying to slay, because it'll rear its ugly head in my life again, I assure you, and I'm going to have some choices to make. But God says we can put it behind us if that's what we want to do. We can make good use of the time that God gives us. No greater use than choosing to serve God. If you've never done that before, we hope and pray that you do that this morning. We have the baptistry ready here for those that would like to be baptized into Christ. If you're not there yet, you'd like to study, you'd like to spend some more time in God's Word, we're ready for that too. Don't put off spiritual things. Don't put off spiritual things. If you're not ready to commit to Christ yet, make sure you're examining that continually so that you can make that decision. Or if there's something else that you've been putting off, or something else you just need to do, if it's some way that we can help you with that, let us know while we stand, while we sing.